Welcome to the Eye Candy Duo podcast with me, Naomi Williams, a 30-something parent of none, baffled by how much is undiscussed in the world of pregnancy and parenthood. I'll be asking the questions you want the answers to on this podcast, which is brought to you by Eye Candy World, makers of beautifully British pushchairs for parents across the globe. This week, we are joined on the Eye Candy Duo podcast by Amy Lane, author of I Can Run, host of Wellfar podcast, executive editor of digital of Women's Health UK, and mum to Huxley. In this episode, we'll be chatting to Amy about the marathon of motherhood and the importance of making physical and mental health a priority as a new mum. Hello, Amy. It's so lovely to have you on the Eye Candy Duo podcast. I have to say, when I was reading out all of the things that you do, I almost ran out of breath to even finish off with, and then she's mum of Huxley. But like, how are you getting on? I hear that your son is just about to turn a year old next month.
He is. So firstly, thank you for having me on and that lovely intro. It's been quite a lot to pack in, I would say, in the past couple of years. But yeah, thankfully, I'm the mother of a nearly one-year-old who is literally keeping me on my toes at the moment, running around, and has become the cheekiest little boy I know out of nowhere.
Oh, fantastic. Also, great name, by the way. Huxley, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Was it based on anyone, or is it just a name that you guys just really loved?
So I'm going to be really honest here. I could say it's after a very famous author. But it's really from a name list.
Oh, well, do you know what? Good for you for saying that. Because I was looking at it going, oh, Huxley. And we were actually just talking before the podcast. And we're all doing a bit of a mad Google of going, what is that? And then, of course, the author came up and we were like, we wouldn't have said that, though. Like, it's reminding us of something else, but it's really cool name. So good for you.
I just feel I have to be honest with it. But I saw it at probably like 3 a.m. in the morning when you have pregnancy insomnia. And there's one description of it where it's described as Hughes Meadow as the name definition. And we moved whilst I was pregnant to opposite a really beautiful meadow. And so it just felt so right. So we went with it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Like a sort of epiphany moment at 3 a.m. while you're desperate for sleep. You just go, I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that as a win in this scenario.
Yeah. But, put that in your app.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for any of our guys that are listening and they're not already connected to you on your sort of on your social channels, of course, we'll link them all in. As you've got such a great, very transparent, actually very ode to what you were just talking about of like full transparency here, the name came from here. You've got a very, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's a really open and honest social platform, which I really commend you on.
Thank you.
Because it isn't always a bed of roses, you know, when you're having kids, and sometimes people have, you know, very challenging pregnancies, and you know, sometimes, and like yourself, that you've been quite open about having quite traumatic birthing stories, and that don't necessarily get discussed enough. Sometimes that what can be perceived as a sort of negative scenario can be kind of brushed under a carpet, and actually it's, when it's discussed, it can be quite empowering for other women. I mean, did you intentionally kind of go in wanting to share that side of your birth story? Did you just want to sort of do it for yourself, or did you think this could actually really help connect other women with sort of a similar story?
So it was the latter. So whilst I was pregnant, I did a fantastic hypnobirthing course. And I'd relocated from London, I'd moved to Winchester, and I found out that they had this fantastic home birthing team. And so whilst I was pregnant, I really went down the natural birth route, and I did everything I could. So when Huxley was breech, I researched into spinning babies, and I was upside down on an ironing board trying to turn him. My husband thought I was mental, but I really, really bought into that and to doing as all of the natural things as much as I could. And I thought I was really, really on track to, if you like, breathe my baby out. And then I did have a complication at the end of my pregnancy, which meant that sadly I couldn't go with the home birth team. So I switched to being consultant-led care. But in my head, I was still having a natural birth. And when that didn't happen, and it was so far from a natural birth, and I woke up, so I ended up going under general anaesthetic because, for anyone who hasn't seen my Instagram post, I had a really, really, really rare complication during theatre when they were going to use forceps, and I was given a spinal block, and unfortunately it went high. And what that means is that it affected the muscles in my chest, which control breathing, and then it affected my vocal cords. And so before I knew it, I was unconscious and I was put on a ventilator. And so I was not present for my birth. And so I came around in this, I came back around in the recovery room hours later and then got wheeled into a delivery suite. And my husband had been in that room all by himself during that time. And he had no idea what was going on with me. He first met our son Huxley as he was whizzed past with a bag on his face on his way to neonatal. And I woke up and he was trying to, you know, be brave for me. But all I could remember was just that kind of crashing out moment in theatre. And I was like, my God, what happened? But then we kind of went into this weird situation where it was all about my son. And don't get me wrong, I am so lucky to have a healthy baby now. But it became that narrative of, oh, it doesn't really matter what happened because you've got a healthy baby. And so for days, I was in a hospital room by myself, and he was down in neonatal, and I just kept getting told that same line, at least you've got a healthy baby. And I was then discharged from hospital. Even on my notes, it was saying that I was having PTSD flashbacks, and obviously my mental well-being wasn't where it should be. But I was still discharged, and for probably about 2 months, my mental health got worse and worse. And I just didn't know where to turn because I was at home with my gorgeous little boy. But I just felt so far from being well. And I really, really didn't know how to voice that because every time I broached what had happened with people, I got that same kind of response again. But at least you're okay now. At least he's okay now. And I think that's just how it all snowballed. And I ended up with having really bad intrusive thoughts and just really scared for both myself and my son. And then when I went to the GP about something to do with him, she said to me, are you okay? Like, you know, you seem a little bit on edge, a bit anxious. And that was just the moment I broke down. And she helped me and I ended up getting specialist treatment. But I've just never felt so alone in my life. And so when it came to sharing that on Instagram, I did it because I wanted other women to understand that, you know, it isn't sometimes those natural births that you plan really don't happen. And, you know, you might not have something as extreme as I went through, but you might have an experience that leaves you really traumatized. And that doesn't mean that you're broken or that, you know, you're instantly a bad mom, or it's just what you've experienced. And actually getting help can make you make sense of that and can help you heal and move on. And so that's why I shared it, because I wanted other women to be able to speak up. And I just felt so alone, as in I didn't know where to turn to. So I wanted to put a charity called Birth Trauma Association on other women's radar, because they are trying to open a phone line at the moment. And for me, that phone line feels so important, because there aren't very many dedicated resources to perinatal mental health.
Thankfully, though, like you say, you did finally get that support that you're needing. It's great that the doctor kind of saw in you that, you know, just by asking quite simply, like, how are you, you were able to really kind of open up and take that opportunity. And it's sad to hear that it came sort of 2 months later into that part of the journey with you. But and like you say about the Birth Trauma Association, I mean, I do talk to a lot of various different people on the podcast, but actually maybe this is to my shame, it's the first time I've actually seen these guys, and they've got a great social platform as well. Again, we'll tag everything in. I mean, what was it like reaching out to those guys and kind of the, you know, the dialogue that you had with that kind of association, and how that helped you?
So I actually spent just a lot of time on their website and going through their social channels, and I joined a Facebook group, which is linked. And that's what really helped me, because I started to read other women's stories and it made me realize that actually I wasn't alone and I wasn't broken. There are other women that have really, really experienced something similar or something, or some kind of trauma relating to birth. And so that experience of connecting with others really, really helped me, because I think when you experience something like birth trauma and you are in like a mum's network, you might be one of the only ones who's experiencing that at the time. And I think you don't want to bring others down around you. So I had a great little mum network here in Winchester, and I spoke openly to one of the mums, but I felt like to the other mums, I couldn't actually mention how I was feeling, because I just didn't want to be the Debbie Downer who had a 6-week-old baby and who just really, really wasn't feeling right, when they were just like knee, heads, everything deep in that newborn baby love. And so I did really kind of connect with other women online and found that really helpful.
Because actually there's some from what you just said, because I was just thinking, because I'd love to talk about your book, I Can Run, because actually there's a lovely line in the synopsis of the book of where it says, we're all in it for the long run together, we can do this. And it does have that really lovely synergy with parenthood. And like you say, the way that you can connect to certain people and really kind of discuss it, and in a way they kind of join that the journey with you throughout parenthood. I mean, have you found since the, obviously when the book's come out, and it focuses on, don't let the title necessarily completely deceive you in that sense. It's not just all about per se running, I suppose, if that's right to say, Amy. Obviously, because it's about
100%.
Yeah, it's kind of about digging in to find just sort of, I mean, you say sort of inner athlete, but I think it's so good. And to be fair, I will stop waffling, because you're probably the best person to actually explain your own book. But I did love, because it's that thing of like, I can't run. And it's so interesting when you apply that to so many different areas of your life, of like, I can't do this, or I can't, you know, I there's so many areas where you're mentally, you shut down before you give yourself the opportunity. Mm. But yeah, no, maybe if the guys, you know, with this, with your book, and maybe explain a little bit more about that for them.
Yeah. So that phrase, I can't run, is heard obviously all around the world. And sure, people might not be able to run, but it's because they don't have the education or the experience. And so as soon as you start explaining to people, this is exactly how you can run, and you start breaking it down and, you know, giving people the tools that they need, suddenly running becomes really accessible. But we just think that because we can put our trainers on and go out the door, you know, that we should be able to run a 5K or run for 30 minutes, because the barriers to entry of running are quite low. But then people find it really hard and they immediately give up. But I say to people, would you go into a gym and, you know, try and deadlift 100 kilos? You wouldn't. You'd have to put the training in. And so that's what the book does. It shows people how they can run and how they can fall in love with it. And I suppose how it can have such a positive impact on their lives. You don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to chase a time, but having the confidence to put on your trainers and to get out the door for 5 minutes or 30 minutes at some point during your week can benefit your mental well-being as much as your physical well-being. And so that's what I really hoped with the book. And along with all the kind of the expertise in there, there's also my personal story about how I conquered quite a few demons to run a marathon and what that taught me. And those lessons have really stuck with me. And I suppose they've been so important now as I try and rebuild my fitness in this kind of postnatal period, because on a marathon you can't just train hard and fast for 16 or 20 weeks because you'll burn out, and you really need to respect your body. And I think those lessons are what really, really transfer over to the postnatal period, because you have to be kind, you have to do things right. If you don't do things right, you risk more injury, and ultimately it just sucks and it just lacks enjoyment. And so that's how I think the kind of the bit fits into everyday life.
And I have to say, because I do love running myself, and it's, I was looking over it and I was like, my God, you've absolutely nailed this. Because there's some mornings where, I mean, getting up to go for a 5 minute run is like an utter chore. It's like saying, yeah, run 10K. But there'll be other days, or it might not even be in the morning, it might be a lunchtime, where you go, do you know what? I am so in the mood. And it's almost like your mind can keep you going. And I am not that healthy, Amy. Do you know what I mean? So, like, normally my body would collapse, you know, after about 20 minutes. But it's incredible once your mind is really aligned with it and goes, you really fancy this. You do it. You clear your head. Go for it. Like, there will be a number of reasons why you get totally, almost like your stars align and you go, let's go. And you'll just lose yourself in it. And it's, like you say, it's so true. It's so many different aspects of your life. As soon as you kind of mentally go, right, and you've almost got to let go to allow that kind of acceptance back in, where you go, right, let's just take our time. Do you want to go for, let's just go for 5 minutes. If you don't want to go for a walk instead of going for a run, do you know what I mean? Instead of,
yeah,
you know, and kind of almost alienating yourself from something that actually deep down you love doing, or you just might not be fueled enough or in the right mind frame. And I think, yeah, as a someone who's, you know, got a brand new baby, actually taking that approach is just like that should be the only advice. Then this kind of idea that you need to sort of snap back in and, right, this is pure army drill discipline in getting back to this kind of sense of like where you used to be, which I just also think is kind of madness in itself. I mean, you speak about this quite a lot on your Instagram, and a lot about that kind of mental health, I suppose particularly personal battle surrounding sort of that post baby fitness period. Again, like comparing yourself, I mean, social media can be a brilliant platform, but also just an absolute viper den when it comes to body comparisons or anything like that. I mean, what would you say to new parents who are also experiencing this, and how do you personally navigate that kind of battle?
I think I struggled in the beginning because everyone talks about this loss of identity when you become a mum. And I did feel that to some extent, but I actually just felt like I gained a new identity. And then I had to get to grips with that. And I had to really understand how I fitted into this new world. And that's really what I struggled with. That's really what I struggled with in the beginning, because I've never been as fit as I was as at 9 months pregnant. Because I went into my pregnancy, I just ran a marathon, so I was really, really in a good place. And then I managed to keep up my exercise throughout, and obviously I tapered it towards the end. But I was still lifting weights, I was doing yoga, and I felt the best I've ever felt in mind and body. I felt so strong. And so then when I came out the other side of birth and I came up for air, and at 6 weeks, I still didn't want to exercise. I really struggled with that, because I just thought, when I was 9 months pregnant, I just thought, right, you know, I'm going to give myself a few weeks to adjust to my new kind of mum life. And then I know where to go to get my exercises. I'll just add them into my daily routine. But when I actually didn't want to, and then when I found out life gets really busy with a newborn when they actually wake up, and you don't have much time, I really struggled with that, because I was like, the old me doesn't exist, and this new me is somebody who I've never met before. And how do I still have a sense of self with getting the things which I enjoy into my life at the right time, so I still enjoy them and they don't become another stress? And so I started various workout plans, and I put on Instagram, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And obviously I did it for a few days and then I fell silent because I just took on too much. And then I sat down and I really thought about, how much time do I have in my week and how much time do I want to exercise? Because I've also never been as tired as I was. And I know that should have been a pretty obvious thing, having a newborn, but the breastfeeding fatigue was just unreal. Never felt anything like it. And so I had to be really realistic with actually how much extra stress can I take and how much extra energy can I expend? And so when I started to think about that and then find times in my week, and I signed up to the Fit app, and they have a plan on there called Fit Mum, and I actually know the trainers who designed that plan, so I felt I had quite a lot of confidence in the fact that it was the right training and it was all being done really well, with a lot of emphasis on rebuilding your core and your pelvic floor in the right way. When I signed up to that, and I realized that actually a 30-minute workout, because that's all they are on there, can be done in a nap time or can be done before my husband goes to work, and I only need to do 3 of them a week, I suddenly started to really build my confidence up again and build my strength and my fitness back up again. And then I started to really enjoy exercise again. But I mean, that took months. I would say Huxley's now 11 months, and I probably started that plan about 4 months ago. And up until that time, I fell into that trap, which you mentioned, that other parents fall into, where you look at other people on Instagram and you're like, how on earth is she managing to work out all the time? But what you don't realize is that, you know, behind the kind of the high profile accounts on Instagram, a lot of them have nannies. Mm-hmm. And that makes it a lot easier, because they've got childcare whenever they like, or they pay for it. And so that gives them the freedom to be able to work out, and then also probably after their workout, make themselves some food, which is actually quite tough as a mum. I find that, you know, if you do your 30-minute workout, you're like, what am I giving up to do that 30-minute workout? Am I giving up a shower? Am I giving up the chance to, like, sit down and actually eat some breakfast rather than eat it as I'm walking around the kitchen? And so I think you've kind of got to take what you see on Instagram with a pinch of salt and realize that, you know, it's not real life a lot of the time. A lot of things go on behind the scenes of those accounts to make those accounts a reality. And so it's all about zoning in on and honing in on what you can do in your household that's going to make you and your family happy.
I really hope a lot of listeners get a lot out of what you've just said, because exactly that. And honestly, I mean, I've spoken to Olympians before, and they do incredible things, but they've said exactly the same as you. They're just like, do you know what? I could barely, for various different reasons, maybe the lack of motivation sometimes, you know, because of C-sections or whatever. Some have just gone, and actually, I really just took my time. I didn't do anything for at least 6, 7, 8, you know, that really long periods of time. You think, my God, but, you know, it's awful just to assume, well, I thought you'd be straight back up and doing it. It's like, no, why would you ever assume that they've just gone through what, you know, what other women might be going through at the same time of going, I've just had a baby. Yeah. So it's like a reset. You just got to listen to your body and really take your time.
And I think, like, let's not overlook the benefits of walking. I've never pounded the pavement so much as I did when Huxley was little. And then when I think he was about, I don't know, 2 months or something, and I looked on like the Apple Health app, and I realized that I was walking 5K a day on the Naplex to like help to get him to sleep. I was like, my God, I'm actually doing quite a lot of exercise without even realizing it. So, you know, if you're feeling like, if you're listening in and you're feeling like you're not doing that much, maybe actually look at your daily movement trackers over the day and just see actually that you're probably more active than where you think. And if you're doing that along with your pelvic floor work, and then can get in like a strength session at home, and that can just be a body weight strength session, you know, you're probably doing enough. So don't stress and just enjoy it.
I mean, oh my God, that's like so much more than I do. And I don't have any kids, Amy. No, but you know, I think that's the thing. It's those little bits. It's like, actually don't ignore them. You're running around like you are doing a lot. And probably not, like you say, probably not eating when you should, or the bits you are, you're just stealing bits of food when you can. It's like, actually, given the fuel you're putting in, you're probably doing more than you need. And actually, what's lovely, and it's a brilliant section on women's health online, that's called sort of Healthy Mums. And of course, you know, since becoming a mum yourself, does it feel more important for you to be covering this kind of content on women's health?
100%. That's actually been on our radar for quite a while, that section. And we launched it just before I went on mat leave. And it was so well timed because I found myself Googling certain topics to do with pregnancy and birth. And I just thought, gosh, I am in such a privileged position to know so many experts and to have access to them. Yet I still find myself Googling because I just don't have the information. And so when it came to deciding whether we should press the button and to launch that section, it was a unanimous yes across the board from the team at Women's Health. And I just think it's really important to support women in all stages of their life. So we've obviously got that section, but I think it's really important to talk about the menopause too, because for so long, women's bodies, people haven't really understood them. And, you know, brands have been scared of them because there hasn't been enough research, because so many scientific studies are done on men. And so, you know, to be in this situation now in 2021, where there's research papers coming out all the time and there's new tech launching, which educates us in the female body and the hormones, I think it's really exciting. But it also means that as a health brand, we need to jump on that and make sure that the information is really, really accessible. And so you'll see that section grow. It's still in its infancy, but it's growing month on month. And we really, really value the feedback from the women's health community. We've got a really engaged Instagram audience, and how they respond in our DMs is really helpful. And so we'll often pick up we'll listen into those and pick up topics and turn them into features. And that's really how another reason why that section started, because people were saying to us, I'm pregnant and I don't know what exercise to do.
Yeah, just even as like a starting block. I know, absolutely. And I think, yeah, the propensity just to be like, I'm just going to Google it. But if it can be housed under one area, and like you say, it points them then into different directions where they go, I hadn't even thought of that at all. That looks really interesting. Let's learn more about that. It's great to have such a fab resource all in one area. Because also, likewise, you kind of cover quite a lot of those sort of topics, like the stuff that we've discussed today in your welfare podcast as well, which again, it's going to be a whole load of links for everybody to really kind of tuck into in the show notes. But can you share any plans you have in store for your podcast?
So at the moment, so after realizing that I needed to take a step back from everything and get myself better, I decided to take a proper mat leave this year. So I'm on mat leave from Women's Health, and I decided to take a mat leave from the podcast because I was fitting that in around my full-time job. And then I went back to it when Huxley was 3 months old, and it was such a juggle. So we've taken the rest of this year, so I'm due back in the autumn time, and we've taken the rest of this year to just, I'm having a bit of a reset, and then I'll go back to it in the autumn, and it'll be all conversations about where we're going to go with it. Until then, though, we are working with Spotify, and there is a bite-sized daily playlist that people can listen to where we just offer either a running tip or a bit of advice from a famous runner each day that people can just sign up to for free. So that's on there at the moment, and it's doing really well. It's really exciting.
Oh, that's fantastic. No, and it's perfect. Those kind of little daily anecdotes would, they go so far. They really do. They can absolutely change your mindset. But no, fantastic. Look, Amy, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an utter pleasure talking with you today, and all the best. And I hope Huxley keeps you, well, he sounds like he keeps you on your toes anyway, but I hope he's a delight before you have to go back to work after maternity leave. But we're really looking forward to Welfare podcast coming back to us soon.
Thank you very much. And thanks to everyone who's listened in to today's episode. It's been really nice sharing maybe your walk with you, or maybe your run, or maybe you're just listening on the couch. So thanks for listening.
To find out more information about the topics covered in today's podcast, head to the iCandy blog page on www.icandyworld.com/blog. You can also catch up on season one, featuring thought-provoking and engaging interviews from a mix of industry leaders, experts, celebrity parents, and healthcare specialists, all via your preferred podcast provider. If you enjoyed today's episode, then don't forget to leave a review and hit like and subscribe to ensure you never miss an episode. iCandy is a proud supporter of Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital charity. Every day brings new challenges at GOSH, and this extraordinary hospital depends on charitable support to give seriously ill children the best chance to fulfil their potential. A donation from as little as £10 could pay for a genetic test that will help diagnose sick children, whilst only £50 could cover the cost of one night stay for parents in GOSH's family accommodation. Every little bit helps support both children and parents alike in making a challenging time as comfortable as possible. If you would like to make a donation, please head to discover.icandyworld.com/GOSH.